Welcome to the K Beauty Podcast, a love letter to all things Korean beauty, hosted by me, Sugar Peaches, from Sugar Peaches Loves, a German and English beauty blog dedicated to beauty products from around the world, with a special passion for Asian and indie brands. Hi guys, I'm back. Did you miss me? Today is all about enjoying the benefits of Key Beauty on a budget. I've compiled a list of 21 Korean skincare products that won't make your wallet cry or your credit card spontaneously combust. So, are we all Key Beauty podcast ready? Then let's go. Huzzah! It's finally time for a new episode. Oh man, I'm extra psyched for today because we will be talking about a topic that is very near and dear to my broke-ass heart, and that is Key Beauty on a budget. So, I'll be introducing you to 21 Key Beauty products that are all very reasonably priced and still absolutely wonderful and really high quality. Pretty much all of them are products that I have been using, still using at the moment, so I can personally attest to their awesomeness. There is the odd one or two ones that I haven't tried out myself, but I still feel I can recommend them based on other people who I know are trustworthy who have recommended them. But before I dive into my list of products, let's first discuss why Korean skincare in particular is so damn budget friendly. By the way, there is a group of kids playing right outside my window and it's really, really loud even though I've closed the window. So if there are any weird background noises, I hope I'll be able to reduce them. But just kids being kids, I don't know what else to do about this. Obviously, we'll just have to get through this now. Alright, back to Key Beauty on a budget and trying to ignore the screaming that is going on outside. I think the mom is currently arguing with the kids. I'm not sure what it is about, but it seems to be very intense. Anyway, I am not going to lie. The main reason why I was inspired to do this episode is the fact that I am, how should I say this, very poor and very, very dependent on budget beauty finds. In fact, my constant struggles with money are actually one of the reasons I ended up becoming such a fan of K-beauty products. Because you see, Korean skincare, and also Japanese skincare actually, offers a whole range of low to mid-priced beauty products that are just as excellent, if not sometimes even better in my humble opinion, than some Western high-end products. There are many speculations on why it is that K-beauty in particular is so reasonably and competitively priced, and I admit that I couldn't find a 100% certain answer to this. There are people who say that it's because of the Korean government heavily supporting beauty brands in their research and manufacturing so that the companies then can keep their costs low. But I couldn't really find a super reliable source on this. So this might be an urban myth or something. Beauty blogger myth. I'm not sure. Other sources have pointed out that since Korean women and men place such great emphasis on outward beauty and youthfulness, the beauty market in Korea is huge, and thus many more brands compete for attention. Sort of connected to that argument is the idea that the average Korean beauty consumer is also far more savvy when it comes to researching and choosing their skincare products. Again, I am not 100% sure if this is true or just another one of those amazing flawless Korean women with an air of perfection narratives that reek of Orientalism, but it does make sense that due to beauty and skincare products being so ubiquitous, in South Korea, there is a strong sense of competition between brands, and thus prices are also lower on average than they often are in the West. Most brands that have lower to mid-range prices are really just as well formulated as the high-end brands in Korea, and so there just rarely seems to be a need to buy high-end. That's not to say Koreans don't buy high-end. It does seem, however, that when it comes to high-end brands, most Koreans actually prefer Western prestige brands, such as Dior, Chanel, YSL, etc. At least that's what many Korean and Korean American bloggers often say. And it is also what I noticed when I watch Get It Beauty, that Korean beauty variety show that I'm sort of kind of totally obsessed with. Just as with us here in the West, Koreans are of course very brand conscious, and you probably won't find a woman my age still buy €1 or $1 Etude House sheet masks, since that's more for our younger girls. However, for us here in the West, we often don't really know what brand profile and target audience a Korean brand has. So as a woman in her mid-30s, I wouldn't feel weird buying a Tutaus or Tony Moly as long as that cream is pleasant for the skin. And I think a lot of grown-up Western women will probably see it like that, or they even extra attracted to the cute packaging, because usually you don't get that in quote-unquote mature brands. I myself have never really cared much for a brand profile or whether or not that brand is meant for my age bracket. But then again, I've kind of still been living with the same low budget as I did in my 20s, so that's maybe where that comes from. To me, the main questions when I choose products is usually, what does the ingredient list look like? Now, I'm not a super duper science savvy kind of blogger, so I can't claim to be able to fully decipher an ingredient list, but I do look for certain ingredients that I know I love, such as niacinamide, hyaluronic acid, bonus points if there are two or more types of it on the list, and then certain plant extracts, ferments, because I'm totally obsessed with fermentation ingredients, etc., etc. I also always try to get a sense of the texture of the product. I have to be careful with very heavy textures, so I prefer gels or whipped creams or the gorgeous jelly texture you get with so many Korean products. If the cream that I love is from Etude House and not, say, a fancy anti-aging brand like Hera or even the History of Woo, who cares? I say just go for what works for you. On the other hand, I also can't help but slightly roll my eyes at people who scoff at the idea of ever spending more money on skincare. You know, the types of people who are almost proud that they never spent more than a few dollars on a cream, and almost proud that it's the most unelegant cream and most simplistic cream they can find. You know the type I'm talking about. I mean, again, if that works for you, that's awesome. But I also feel that if the cream or foundation that works for you costs $80 and you can afford that, then there's no need to shame you for that. This slightly harks back to my podcast episode on self-care with K-Beauty, where I discuss that whole thing about shaming people for being into consumerist things because they make them happy. I mean, heck, if I had $80 to spend, I'd totally try out more high-end foundations. My blog would very definitely feature more high-end products if I had the budget for it, because I like high-end. I like both low-end and high-end. I just look for nice and interesting products no matter what the price range. It's just that at the moment the reality is that I usually can't afford them, and I'm not the sort of blogger yet that gets a whole lot of high-end super expensive PR samples. I'm not quite there yet, unfortunately. I wouldn't mind that. For me, the best under-eye concealer, for instance, pretty much in the world, or one of the top three under-eye concealers, is the YSL Touche Eclat. And you bet I always used to splurge on that when my finances were a little bit more stable. Not because it is high-end or luxury, but because it was the one thing that did not crease on me and brighten up my under-eye area so beautifully that it made me look a lot younger. Maybe not 10 years, but maybe like 3 years. It just looked smooth and nice and fresh in a way that none of the drugstore concealers that I've ever tried has ever done. And I'm also allergic to a lot of concealers, so yeah, if something works for me, why shouldn't I spend the money on that? Anyway, back to K-Beauty. I do think that Korean beauty, or really Asian beauty in general, offers wonderful budget finds that are still of a reliably good quality. Another reason for this, I would say, is that the formulations tend to have a higher percentage of their star ingredients compared to their Western counterparts. I always notice this with hyaluronic acid. It often seems more of an afterthought ingredient in Western products. Do you ever feel like that? Just studying ingredients list and sodium hyaluronate. Hyaluronate? Oh god, is this another propolis? Hyaluronic acid. Just seems to be always very late in the list. And I don't feel the same super hydrating effect that I feel from many hyaluronic acid containing products from Asia. In Korean products, hyaluronic acid definitely defines the texture and the feel of many of their products. So high competition between a large amount of brands, a discerning customer that won't easily spend unless he or she gets a lot out of a product, and potentially low manufacturing costs all may have contributed to super competitive prices in the Korean beauty industry. Now, in order for us in the West, or at least us outside of Korea, to also benefit from these low prices, we do sometimes need to be a little bit buying savvy. When I'm on the hunt for a new Korean beauty product, I usually check and double check many different shopping sites, both Korean and non-Korean actually, to just really find that perfect price. Now, I don't speak Korean, so I usually do stick to sites that offer English translations, but I know that the truly hardcore shoppers even tend to check Korean online malls to find the absolute best bargains. There are so-called buying services such as Aveco that you can ask to order from Korean shopping sites that only ship domestically, and then the buying service ships the products to you. This does, of course, come with a fee though. So you have to be very, very good at your maths to figure out if this is really cheaper than buying somewhere more convenient. To me, these buying services mostly make sense if you want something that simply isn't available internationally yet or at all, such as limited or new releases. What does make sense very often is to buy in bulk at very cheap shopping sites such as Rose Rose or Sweet Korea, written with a C for some reason, where you usually pay quite high shipping costs. For those sites that do offer cheap prices, it only really pays off to buy a lot and that way maximize shipping fees, because they're often extremely steep, especially if you only buy one or two products. The absolute best thing to do is to actually order together with friends or family and thus split shipping costs. Now, the only downside to buying large hauls in one go is, of course, that in many countries, this will mean you have to pay import taxes and custom fees, etc. And often, I find that larger packages usually get stuck in customs much longer, at least here in Germany. I wonder how it is in other countries. I'm not sure what the rules are wherever you live, but here in Germany, you don't have to pay import fees on goods under a value of 22 euros, and you pay lower fees on goods under 150 euros. Then over 150. Over 150, it starts to get really expensive. I forgot what that other extra fee is that you have to pay, but that one can really hurt a wallet quite a bit. So it often makes sense to actually rather go small in your order, or as I said, really look for the cheapest price, and then maybe get together with other people as well so you can split all the extra costs among you. So now that I've talked a little bit about where to buy and how to buy, I made this a little bit short. There is a great Snailcast episode about buying from obscure sites. I think it was called Hardcore Shopping or something like that, that you should absolutely listen to, where some very good tips are being given. But for now, I feel it's time to dive into my product list. So the 21 products that I've chosen that I consider to be especially budget friendly. And I've split this up a little bit into categories to find something that you could be interested in all the different product categories, from makeup to cleansers, etc. So let's get started. You can tell I'm quite excited about this. So the first category is, of course, cleansers. There are so many great affordable cleansers out there from Korean and other Asian brands that I could probably easily find 21 products just in this category. Okay, maybe not 21, but I think at least maybe like 15 or so. But for now, let's focus on just a few choice selections that are easily the best ones out there when it comes to, again, that perfect balance of quality and affordability. They are low pH, they are gentle, they work for almost all skin types, in my opinion. They are effective and usually not much more expensive than $10 or so. I mean, can it get any better? I don't think so. So number one on my list is the Kose Soft Timo. I always mispronounce that, but I think it's Softimo. Softimo. Anyway, I apologize for mispronouncing anything on that list. So the Kose Softimo Speedy Cleansing Oil. It comes in a 230ml bottle that lasts forever. Like most cleansing oils, really, in my opinion, even if you cleanse every night. And it's a great, simple, but effective cleansing oil that doesn't leave any weird oil residue on the skin. I have to say that for my skin type, I do much better with the not as thick cleansing oils. Somehow they just work better for my skin type. So I would say this works especially well if you have oily or combo skin. Now, number two on my list is a blogger favorite that many of you might already know, but I couldn't possibly do a list on budget cleanses without mentioning it. And that is, of course, the COSRX Low pH Good Morning Gel Cleanser. This is a jelly type cleanser that may not be the most elegant product in the world, but it's very effective and yet super gentle. It usually costs around or slightly under $10, and it's pretty much the perfect basic cleanser that you can use, especially, again, I would say, for combo and oily skin types. The only thing I have to mention is that it contains tea tree oil, which some people are allergic to, or at least they react with sensitivities, since it is quite a strong and potent essential oil. So do make sure that you are okay with that. A lot of the COSRX products do contain tea tree oil, and I always feel that the people who say that COSRX is a really terrible brand and I hated everything, they might just be allergic to tea tree oil. Just please don't shit on the brand, because I'm very protective of COSRX. And I always get very offended and sad when people don't like their products. It's slightly creepily personal for me with some brands. Sorry. But yeah, I feel most people might actually just not do well with tea tree oil. Apart from this, to me, the COSRX cleanser really is a great second step cleanser for all skin types. And again, especially for oily or combo. I do think it does work well for dry skin types as well. Some people find it drying, so maybe check with a blogger who also has dry skin and ask him or her how they are doing or what cleansers they might recommend. Of course, since I am oily combo, I will usually gravitate towards products that are good for my skin type. Anyway, let's go to the next cleanser, and I think this one should be pretty much perfect for all skin types, truly for all skin types, and that is the Hada Labo Goku Jun Super Hyaluronic Face Foam. Now, this Japanese self-foaming cleanser may be a better choice if you have very dry or dry skin, or also with very sensitive skin, I would say. It is even gentler than the COSRX cleanser, in my opinion. It's super cheap, super effective, lasts forever. The foam is super soft. This, to me, is a true budget star, and it's perfect for Asian beauty beginners who are just starting to build their routine. It's low pH. Most bloggers are fan of this. I think it's wonderful. Again, maybe not the most elegant cleanser in the world. It's very basic, but I am pretty sure you're gonna love it if you try it. It's great. Number four on the list is the Tosuwung Enzyme Powder Wash. I love powder washes. I think they're so much fun and they're so convenient. Basically, what it is an enzyme powder wash is a powder that you combine with water and then you foam it up. And then it becomes a second step cleanser. It provides very gentle exfoliation, and it can be used pretty much daily if you can deal with that much scrubbing. It is gentle scrubbing, but it is still a scrubbing action. And some hypersensitive skin types, and also people who already use a lot of acid peels, high percentage acid peels, for them it might be a little bit too much to do it daily. The scrubbing action, as I said, is very mild, but still noticeable. It just makes your skin look super fresh and clean, and it doesn't feel stripping at all. They're quite miraculous, those enzyme powder washes. Now, I'll be honest here, my favorite enzyme powder wash is actually the by Wishtrend Green Tea Powder Wash, or is it called Green Tea Enzyme Powder Wash? One of the two. The one in the green bottle. That one, however, is quite pricey. I think it's something over $22, and it's maybe not necessarily to buy something that expensive, even though it is great. The Tosuwung Enzyme Powder Wash is a little bit more basic compared to the by Wishtrend one, but I think it's still a spectacular product, especially since it lasts forever. All of the enzyme powder washes really last forever. At first, you're a little bit shocked when you get them because they're usually just a small bottle or package with only something like 80 grams in them. But I've been using the by Wishtrend one, I think now for 3 or 4 months, and I use it quite a lot, but it's still not even near to being empty. And because it's powder, it lasts forever because you mix it up with water freshly every time, so it can't really contaminate that easily. The Tosuwung Enzyme Powder Wash is really dirt cheap. It usually costs under $10, and it's great for all skin types. It can be used as a second step cleanser, or as I said, just a scrub in between. You can do that as well. Just highly, highly recommended, absolutely. The next category that we are diving into now is probably my favorite, though it was much harder finding true budget products, to be honest, because I'm a bit of a connoisseur when it comes to these. And I'm talking about, of course, toners and mists. I kind of noticed that, especially with toners, I almost always use the ones that are high in price. But the thing is, they last forever. They really do. So they technically budget, I guess. Anyway, the first one on my list is number 5, which is the Marmande Rose Water Toner, and specifically the 500ml bottle, so the large bottle. This may be bit of a controversial choice because the large 500ml bottle does cost something like $30. But the thing is, this is a super gentle, very hydrating, and very soothing toner that will last you forever if you go for that large bottle. And for that, I think it's very affordable. You can even put this in a spray bottle and then use it as a facial mist. You can use it for the 7 skin method. You can use it to hydrate during the day. And it also smells really nice of roses. I feel that Marmande is one of those brands who offer really reasonably priced beauty products that somehow not that many influencers and bloggers talk about. I'm not sure, maybe they're just not that interested in reaching an international audience, possibly. Their rose water toner contains, obviously, rose water, which I love as an ingredient for all skin types since it is so soothing and really replenishes moisture levels for my dehydrated skin. But it still feels very lightweight, so one of my top ingredients in toners anyway. Now let's go for a true bargain. 100% super, super bargain. One of the best ones, I think, on the list, really. And that is number 6, the Secret Key Fresh Nature Toners, especially the milk and aloe ones. These come highly, highly recommended by the Gothamista. And that is really all we need to know, right? If you don't know the Gothamista, she's my favorite YouTuber. You have to check her out. She's amazing. I haven't tried these myself, but I had a look at the ingredients lists and I also Googled many reviews, and they do sound pretty exciting. They've kind of now been written up on my wish list, my far too long K-beauty wish list. The milk version of that toner contains, again, obviously, milk protein extract, which can help to gently exfoliate sensitive skin. And it also contains galactomyces, which is a fermented ingredient that is said to brighten and tone skin. The aloe version contains, again, of course, aloe vera extract, which is great, especially in summer, since it can help cool down skin and give back plenty of moisture. The aloe version also contains all sorts of really exciting plant extracts, and I'm quite keen now to try this out. They just sound really good, both of these. The toners only cost under $9 for a pretty large bottle, so this is a definite budget find. Number 7 on my list is the Benton TT Honest Mist. I love mists. I wish they weren't often so expensive, at least the ones that I really like. The Benton TT Honest Mist keeps getting mentioned on this podcast. You might be sick of hearing about it by now. I'm just so in love with it. Actually, I read a few negative reviews on Amazon about this mist. And again, I felt almost personally offended by the idea that anyone wouldn't love this mist. I don't understand. To me, this is the perfect mist. It is only a small bottle, so it is, I guess, kind of still pricey at roughly $10. But if you don't spritz yourself every hour or so with this, you will probably still get a lot of uses out of it. I usually use it, I think, for like a month maybe. I haven't bought it in a while. I really miss it. It just makes my skin glow so beautifully, and I really can see it plumping up my skin almost instantly. It's just an outstanding product. Again, this does contain tea tree. I think tea tree oil water or tea tree water. I'm not sure if essential oil is in it, but it might again just trigger a couple of people. So check the ingredients list. And we're already on to the next category, which is an exciting one. Essences, serums, and ampoules. Again, this was a difficult one for me because there are so many good products in this category. One of them, though, was pretty much the first one that came to mind when I started thinking about true budget finds that I adore. And that is one that I have mentioned a couple of times here as well. It's the Secret Key Key Treatment Essence Rose Edition. Of course this product would end up on this list. How could it not? Yes, Style sells this for under 12 euros at the moment, which seems insanely cheap to me because it's such a great first treatment essence that feels and looks super luxurious. It's been a while since I've tried out the OG SK2 essence, but to me, from what I remember of the SK2, the Secret Key essence is honestly so much better. And it only costs something like a tenth of the SK2 essence. It's brightening, it's hydrating, it's toning, moisturizing, it's super lightweight, free of alcohol. It contains, again, rose water, which I love. It's perfume free. It's the perfect anti-aging toning product, in my opinion. Just one of those products that I really don't even hesitate to recommend to people. Now, number 9 on the list is the Skin Food Royal Honey Propolis Enrich Essence. This may be slightly controversial because you do still pay usually around something like 20 to 25 euros for this product, but you only need a very small amount, and so the 50ml bottle lasts forever. It's also 50ml and not 30ml like in most serums, so I still think you could easily call this a budget find, especially if compared to other high-end serums, and it could easily compete with those. Many people with sensitive skin report that this is one of the few products that they can tolerate, and the ingredient list is simply stellar, with a high amount of glow-giving propolis. And of course, I've talked about propolis quite a bit on this podcast before, and it also contains royal jelly and honey extract. This works for all skin types, in my opinion, since propolis hydrates and nourishes, as well as helps fight acne. It's a true skincare all-rounder. Yes, Style currently has a sale on this ampoule, and you can get it for under 19 euros. So make sure to check out my episode notes on the blog for the direct link and snatch it up fast. Though, to be fair, Yes, Style kind of always has a pseudo sale on products, so that low price might actually last for a while. Number 10 on my list is an old K-Beauty classic, and it's the Mijon All-in-One Snail Repair Cream and the Snail Repair Intensive Ampoule. I just sneakily stuck two products under one number. I hope that's okay. These Mijon snail products were all the rage a few years ago when K-Beauty started to enter the mainstream. Not that many people talk about them anymore, I feel, and I only rarely see them on Instagram anymore. But in my mind, both the cream and the ampoule are still some of the best budget products I've ever known. They contain high amounts of snail mucin extract, which is known to be deeply hydrating. It contains hyaluronic acid, it's skin smoothing, and some people even say that it helped them fade their acne scars, though I don't have any personal proof for that, and the scientific evidence for snail products and what they do is still a little bit flimsy, to be absolutely fair. For me, these products from Mijon are mostly amazing for anyone with combo or oily skin, and for those of you who, like me, don't do too well with heavy or too oily textures. This is very lightweight and watery, but still, to my mind, exceptionally hydrating. They are just great try-out products if you're curious about snail, but not too sure if you will like it, because you can find them for a really good price if you shop around a little bit. Number 11 on my list, we're getting through this fast, aren't we, is the Cynic Honey All-in-One Ampoule. Or really, all the Cynic ampoules. Okay, I'm being sneaky again and trying to put more products under one number. The Honey All-in-One Ampoule is a large-sized pot of yummy honey propolis gooey goodness that really belongs on as many faces as possible because it's awesome. I don't use this at the moment anymore because I have so many other products on my makeup vanity, but when I still had it in my routine, I used this as a sort of sleeping pack, a lightweight sleeping pack, and it would always give me extra dewy, yummily plump skin the next day. All of the Cynic ampoules are very reasonably priced and usually easily obtainable via Amazon, so they are great for K-beauty beginners who don't want to shop around or might be a little bit scared to dive into the Korean shops. Number 12 on the list, the It's Skin Power 10 Formula Essences, especially the LI Effector with licorice root extract. This one may be a bit controversial because not everyone likes these little ampoule style essences. They are seen as very watered down, and I get that. They do tend to be not as concentrated as other more expensive ampoules, but they're also a lot cheaper than those ampoules, so I feel this is still okay. And I have had good experiences with a lot of these. I have tried a couple of the different types of Power 10 formulas, and the ones I love the best are definitely the propolis one and, as I said, the LI effector one. The latter contains licorice root extract, as I said, which is one of my favorite key beauty ingredients since it helps fight breakouts, fade hyperpigmentation, and brighten up complexion. And I really noticed how it would help brighten and smoothen out my dull complexion. So to me, this is a great product. All of the Power 10 formulas always felt very hydrating and just altogether pleasant on my face. They're just some great simple hydrators with some extra benefits thrown in. And even better, usually you can get these for under $10 if you order them directly from a Korean shop. I use these usually as my serum step since they have a higher viscosity than Korean toners or essences. So to me, they really are more of a classic serum. All right, on to the next category, which is sheet masks. And you may be surprised to hear that I only chose two products for this category. The thing is, sheet masks in general are super cheap if you know what to look for. So I felt this category is almost self-explanatory, or rather, I guess I would have to list so many products here that it almost warrants its own podcast episode. Are you interested in a podcast episode just on sheet masks? Let me know. I think that would be a lot of work though, because there's so many interesting ones out there and such a variety in shapes and materials and ingredients and from different countries, but it would maybe be interesting. I don't know. Let me have a think. So for now, only two masks shall be mentioned here. These are two products that I feel tend to be overlooked as too basic or too cheap, when in fact they can easily compete with high-end masks, in my opinion. So number 13 on the list is the Skin Food Super Nut Mask. Don't say anything about the name. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Anyway. Interestingly enough, more German skincare bloggers talk about these than American or English ones. Maybe it is the name. Who knows? Doesn't work in German, you see, because we call those eggs, not nuts. Anyway, let's just continue. Independent of the name, these masks are awesome. Skinfood does a whole range of these quote-unquote superfood masks, but so far I've only tried the nut ones, which are usually the ones that sell out fast, so I guess I'm not alone in really loving these, or people just really like the name. Who knows? If you have very dehydrated or dry skin, you totally should give these a try because they're super rich. They're almost too rich and nourishing for my oily combo skin. The sheet is a little bit thicker than for other masks, which did put me off a bit at first, but the fit is totally okay for such an inexpensive mask. You usually get these for around $2 if you shop around. The essence from this mask feels quite oily, so it definitely is a highly moisturizing and nourishing mask. I use this whenever my skin is just all over the place and need some extra gentle deep hydration. It feels and looks so great after masking. It's really one of my all-time favorite masks, and I'm constantly terrified that they will discontinue this because it is often not available or sold out for some reason. Again, the German K-beauty community really loves this mask, and it would be great to see it appear on more American blogs as well because it's just great. Anyway, on to number 14, which is a less problematic name. And we are talking about the Innisfree My Real Squeeze. My Real Squeeze sheet masks, especially the rose, honey, and green tea version. Now, just a word of caution, these have been reformulated recently, and I haven't tried the newer version yet. But when it comes to the original Innisfree Real Squeeze masks, I'm a massive fan. They're seriously dirt cheap, and they're so nice. Yes, maybe they're not ultra fancy, and yes, the fit of the sheet is not ideal, but for often under $1, you can get all sorts of different flavors, I guess, that are all great in their own way. My personal favorites are rose, honey, and green tea, but shea butter and bamboo were also really nice when I tried them. They moisturize very thoroughly, they feel very gentle. The rose one is one of those masks I like to use when my skin is very red and freaking out, especially right now when it's hay fever season. I notice that I mask more often, and then it's good to have a couple of more budget-friendly masks around, and the Innisfree ones are great for that. I really can't recommend these masks enough for a great and super cheap skin pick-me-up. The next category on my list is moisturizers, so creams, gels, lotions, etc. This is another category with far too many awesome products to recommend, though I actually noticed that lately my creams have been quite fancy and more higher priced. But this is mostly because I was lucky enough to receive some great PR samples from Asian brands such as Swanee Coco and Lee Giham. But they don't really belong in the budget category. For now, I'm going to refer to more budget-friendly moisturizers. And number 15 on the list is the Pyunkhon Yul Moisture Cream. I've written a whole blog review in English about this great, skin-friendly, no-nonsense type cream. It's been one of those products that truly surprised me, because I thought it would be super heavy and kind of do nothing for my skin, to be honest. But au contraire, it's so calming, and it's simplistic in a really good way. It is a true minimalist skincare hero, in my opinion. Now, this does cost, I think, something like $25, but important to know, it's a massive 100 milliliter jar, which will last you forever. It's basically twice the amount you usually get from a cream jar. This cream works for all skin types, and the ingredient list is so simple and pure that it would be hard to not be able to tolerate this. I love this as a nighttime moisturizer, especially when my skin feels overheated, since this has a slightly cooling effect. Do check out my review for more information. I will probably just link it in my episode notes. Number 16 on the list. The Holika Good Cera product line. The toner, the emulsion, and the ceramide cream. I am putting three products under one heading again. I'm being very sneaky with my list. I received a gift set with Good Cera products from Look Fantastic Germany, actually, a couple of weeks ago. I think like roughly 3 weeks ago, since they are now selling Korean beauty products, which is exciting. I must admit that I hadn't really heard much about these apparently very popular products. Holika is a brand that I kind of sort of tend to overlook, if I want to be honest, which is silly because they actually have quite a few good products. Anyway, the Good Cera products, guys, those are currently blowing my mind. I wasn't sure if these would work for me because they seem to be targeted mostly at drier skin types. I thought they would be too rich for me. They contain ceramides, which are lipids that the body naturally produces. But just as with collagen, with aging, the production slows down. So this is one of the factors in skin losing its plump and smooth appearance. So ceramides are a wonderfully gentle anti-aging and skin plumping, super nourishing skincare ingredient that you can often find in Japanese products, but also in a number of Korean ones. Dr. Jart Plus has a popular ceramide skincare line. I think it's called Ceramiden, something along the lines. That one is so expensive though. Most of the products cost over $40, so usually outside of my price range. The Holika Good Cera products aren't dirt cheap, but they are far less pricey than the Dr. Jart ones, and in my opinion, just as good. I haven't tried a full size product from Dr. Jart, but I had samples, which I liked, but I really actually think the Holika ones are just a tad better, probably because I feel they're actually a little bit less rich, so they work better for me. I loved all three Good Cera products. I love the toner, I adore the emulsion, and I am basically in love and want to marry the cream. I use these especially on days when I have been putting stronger acids on my face. They calm my skin right down and they replenish any lost moisture perfectly. So I do wake up, even if I use stronger acids, I do wake up with this gorgeous, plump, and especially smooth skin. I, as I said, don't usually have dry patches on my skin. I feel, however, that especially the cream should work very, very well if you have any dry patches or flaky skin, because it does seem to just counteract that and smooth it out quite beautifully. So really do have a look at these products. Very good for dry skin. Even quite good if you're in your 30s, I would say. Even quite good for oily skins or oily combo that is starting to feel more and more dehydrated. You will notice that once your mid-30s hit, that you just tend to feel a little bit dry, even though you can still see the oil on your face. You will still need to look more and more for moisturizing products. All right, number 17. This is going fast, isn't it? And this one is, again, a multiple category. The Petite Fée, or is it Petite Fée? I'm not sure. Probably Petite Fée. Lip masks. And the Petite Fée Super Seed Lip Oil. So Petite Fay lip products in general. Now, everyone always raves about the Laneige lip masks, but there is a perfectly great and so much cheaper alternative for them. The Petite Fay lip products, all highly recommended by me, but especially the mask with sea buckthorn is, I think, particularly incredible and worth mentioning because it's so moisturizing and, again, maybe controversial, but I feel they're almost better than the Laneige ones, which are just a little bit too, I don't know, I don't think they do that much. I think they are just basically mineral oil. I don't know. The Petite Fay lip oil is great if you have cracked or very dry lips. And if you are super ultra crazy dry, then this is the pro tip now. Try layering the oil underneath the lip mask and use it as an overnight treatment. And that, to me, is the ultimate combo, trust me. And with that, on to the last category, which is of course makeup. Even though I don't talk about makeup or Korean makeup nearly as much as I do about skincare on my blog, I actually love playing around with it. The truth is that I don't consider myself to be very photogenic, and I also don't really create looks that are, shall we say, Instagram worthy. I don't like very heavy makeup, and it doesn't always translate that well on the camera if I do a natural look. I don't know. I have to learn more about photography, I always feel, before I can do more with makeup, because people like to see it on the blogger's face, and my face, I don't think the camera really loves it, to be honest. But I do use a lot of makeup. I was more into makeup actually before I got into skincare. Now, Korean makeup in my mind can be a bit hit and miss, especially eyeshadows, often very lowly pigmented and just kind of a little bit of glitter, invisible, semi-invisible glitter. But there are really, really great products out there if you know where to look. No one does the no makeup makeup look quite as good as Koreans. Well, okay, except probably the Japanese. The Japanese are probably the kings and queens of the no makeup makeup look, but I would say Korea is a close second. I actually had more budget makeup products on my list. I was thinking about making it 27 or maybe even 31 because there were so many other products on there, but I kind of wanted to stick to the 21 products so as not to completely overload you. We can always do another episode if this one is popular. I'm very open to that. Anyway, let's get to number 18, which is another classic, the Innisfree No Sebum Mineral Powder. Oh, you guys, I have such a hard time finding a truly good facial powder. It's been such a mission for the past, I don't know, 10 months, or I think ever since I came back to Germany, I haven't really truly found a perfect powder. Remember when I talked about polyaging in one of the podcast episodes and I told you how my skin just got so much more sensitive once I came back from New Zealand to Germany, which has higher pollution? Well, ever since then, for some reason, I've been allergic to something in most facial powders. Especially lately, I've started having serious issues with redness and breakouts from powders containing talcum, which is pretty much all of the powders. It's in everything, especially in the budget category of powders and makeup products. And to make matters worse, I also seem to be allergic to something mysterious in all of those transparent HD powders. So the one from Makeup Forever and from NYX. NYX makes a great one. Tried it. I just get really nasty contact dermatitis, and I haven't quite figured out which particular ingredient it is that I'm allergic to there. Well, cue the amazingness that is the dirt cheap Innisfree No Sebum Mineral Powder. It is, huzzah, talcum free, and it hasn't given me any, I repeat, any redness or breakouts. It's a miracle. This is especially miraculous because it contains peppermint oil, which my skin usually actually doesn't do very well with. I don't know, maybe it's actually no real essential oil and just the perfume, or maybe the dosage is just so low that my skin is okay with it. Just knock on wood that it stays that way. The powder is transparent and thus should work for pretty much all skin tones. Now, if there are any dark-skinned girls listening to this, or dark-skinned boys who use makeup, let me know if these types of transparent or so-called transparent powders actually do work for your skin so that I can better recommend products in case it does leave a white cast. The Innisfree powder is a small package size. It's just a few grams. It's a really tiny jar, but it does last for a long time. You really only need a tiny amount because it spreads so well across the face. And it usually costs around $7-ish or even less. Style Korean especially often has a time deal for this, so it will be something like $3 for a couple of days. So do keep an eye on the Style Korean website to catch a really good price. I make sure to link it as well. I'll see if I can find the cheapest price at the moment. And on to number 19 on the list, which is the Peri Pera Eerie Velvet Lip Ink. It comes in 10 gorgeous colors. Korean lip tints are fantastic. They are usually very affordable. They are high coverage, high quality. They last well. Their staying power is usually quite amazing. Just almost any lip tint could have gone on my budget list. But the Eerie Velvet Lip Inks just have a very special place in my heart. I just love them. I'm especially in love with the colors number 5, which is Elf Light Rose, and number 10, which is one of the newer shades, and it's my go-to shade at the moment and has been since winter pretty much, and that is Dry Rose Brown. Both of these colors are just the sort of stunning my lips but better nudie pinkish shades that flatter a variety of skin tones. I am also super into the newly released spring 2018 colors. They're brand new, 5 new colors in total, and I think every one of them is just so pretty and unique. They did a fantastic job with these. There is a strong statement orange color that is new, but there are also some lovely fresh my lips but better nudes, and even a plum color, which seems to look almost like a cool pinkish violet on the lips. It's very intriguing. The finish from the Eerie Velvet Lip Inks is hard to describe. It's a sort of moussey semi-matte, I would say. I usually apply them and then tap the color into my lips with my fingertips just lightly. This really brings out the matte finish the best, I feel, and it also seems to help prolong their staying power if you just tap them into the skin a little bit. What I love about these tints, apart from the color range, is that they are matte, but they don't look flat. They don't dry out the lips like many matte formulas do either. There's still something very delicate about them. I feel that many matte lip products, especially Western ones, can make you look a little bit harsh, but the Peri Pera lip inks are soft and almost cloud-like in their finish. You almost always find a sale for these somewhere, so make sure to compare prices. Style Korean and Yes Style often sell them for around $6 when there is a sale, so get more than one color. Just saying. Get them all. They're all great. They really are. On to number 20, which is the Misha M Perfect Cover BB Cream. This is the OG of BB creams for many people. The one that brought many a skincare and makeup lover towards the path of Korean beauty products. I think it was also probably one of the first ever Korean products that I tried. And guess what? I still think it is pretty much the best BB cream I've ever tried. And I've tried many more by now. The color number 21 works perfectly for my slightly rosy, pale complexion, which I guess describing my complexion like that sounds like a humble brag, but I'm actually just red, which is not that flattering. So don't imagine me looking like a delicate English rose. It's more like a match head, I guess. Very red. Anyway, this Misha BB cream is still one of the few ones that doesn't pile or ball up or start to sort of slip off my skin by midday. Oily skin type bodies can probably relate to this idea of makeup just slipping down the face as the day progresses. The Perfect Cover BB cream leaves a beautiful dewy finish, but it's not too shiny, and it has a natural medium coverage that gives you that healthy skin look we all covet. And it's usually really cheap, especially if you buy it at a Korean shop. Just a word of warning, do not buy Misha products via the Misha US shop. Their site has had security problems. You can read all about that on the web. A couple of bloggers have talked about this. I think it was the end of last year during the Black Friday sale. They had a massive security breach and they've never even acknowledged this. So we don't even know if this is fixed yet. So don't ever buy from Misha US. Even if they have a sale, don't buy from them. Your credit card details are not safe there, just so that you know. But Misha is readily available pretty much anywhere else. All the big Korean beauty shops have it. You can also find it on eBay. It's very easy to get. And I often see it, you know, the 50 ml or the 30 ml, I think it's even 50 ml in one tub for something like, I don't know, $8. It's really cheap. It lasts for a long time. And to me, it's superior to a lot of higher priced BB creams. The very last product on the list, number 21, is also a Misha product. And it's the Misha M Magic Cushion Moisture. There are a couple of really great and affordable Korean cushions out there, and I'm fond of many of these. I'm someone who likes cushions a lot. When it comes to the perfect balance of price and quality, I really do think that the Misha M Magic cushions are pretty much unbeatable. The moisture version is, in my mind, slightly superior to the normal regular one because it offers a dewy finish that looks super flattering. Plus, it has medium coverage that just looks very natural, but still covers up quite well. It also feels very hydrating and it lasts well even if you are oily. It really does have a good staying power. Though, to be absolutely honest, it does slip a little bit towards the end of the workday. In very hot weather, this may not be ideal since it definitely is meant to create that dewy, sleek K-pop idol look. So just be aware of that. Given that you can find this on Amazon for usually well under $15, I can forgive these minor details. To me, this is still a massive foundation favorite if you like a natural, flattering, and glowy, dewy finish. I think Misha in general does very well when it comes to foundation, BB creams, cushions, their new attention packs. I've liked all of those. So just like Marmont, I feel that Misha tends to get overlooked because it's not as, I guess, trendy and fashionable anymore. Someone once, I don't remember who it was, which influencer, but someone once called Misha an Ajuma brand, which I thought was quite funny. It basically, it's quite derogatory, I guess, but it just means that older women like it, which I kind of wish that wouldn't always mean that it's considered to be automatically uncool. I personally think that older women are pretty cool, especially if they know what they want and they are, I think, a strong consumer target audience that shouldn't always be branded as outside of the trend. They are their own trend, and I think that's fine. In fact, I think it's great. So that's it. That's my list. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe took some notes. Of course, as per usual, all the products mentioned will also appear in my episode notes on my blog, where we'll also put some direct links to shops that sell them. Now, just so you know, most of those links will probably be affiliate links, which means that if you click on them and if you decide to buy something, I usually get a small percentage commission. This doesn't change the price, but some people feel uncomfortable using the links, which is totally fine. It's your choice. Just, I wanted to be very open about this. I always write it underneath my blog posts as well. So the ones marked with an asterisk are always affiliate links. I always try to only link if the pricing seems fair and reasonable. I always want to be transparent and I always want to be honest about this. So I just felt because this is a product heavy episode, I 100% wanted to mention that. So then we're all on the same page. Now I do really appreciate it if you do use the affiliate links because it is one of the ways that I as a freelance blogger and content creator can support myself financially. So thank you if you do use them. I swear every time I see someone making a purchase, they usually show me that in my affiliate stats. Of course, anonymously, like they don't show me everything, but I can see someone did a purchase. I earned a small commission. I swear I say thank you every time. I get so excited and I always feel very moved when people use them, which is maybe a little bit over the top, but I don't know. I just don't see it as something that I take for granted. Anyway, now to something completely different. These are the weekly Faves, Craves, and Misbehaves. Oop, that was a short jingle, wasn't it? It's a little bit different every week, isn't it? Anyway, we're at that time again, that moment in the podcast where I talk about my weekly Craves, Faves, and Misbehaves. And let's get straight into my crave of the week, which is something that I am coveting, that I am eyeing up and wish I could instantly purchase, but usually it stays on the wish list for a while because, as I said, I don't have a lot of money at the moment. So I have a long wish list, which is good for this section of the podcast. podcast. I always find a crave of the week very easily. And the one for this week is the Hamish Bulgarian Rosewater Hydrogel Eye Patches. I saw these eye patches on Style Korean. They had a really beautiful advertisement for them, and I was instantly drawn in by the fact that they are number one pink and they sparkle. Guys, they are pink and sparkly. And number two, they contain real Bulgarian, or is it Bulgarian? I think it's Bulgarian rose water. And this will probably smell amazing and be very soothing and hydrating. And number three, I love hydrogel eye patches, especially during hay fever season when my eyes look pretty much always inflamed and dry and just a red mess in general. These patches are usually my saviors. Just in case you haven't come across Korean eye patches, basically these are hydrogel patches that have been soaked in hydrating essence, and you place them on your under eye area for roughly 20 minutes. They usually contain hyaluronic acid, beta-glucan, sometimes nourishing plant extracts or oils, and they manage to plump up your fatigued under eye area like nothing else. They are awesome. They're a fantastic invention. With the Hamish ones, I will admit that the main reason I'm so attracted to them is the way they look. As I said, they're pink and sparkly. Seriously, just check out the product pictures on Style Korean to understand why I'm so drawn to these. They just look super gorgeous and promising. Now, at first I thought that these are really expensive since they cost $22. That's quite a lot for these types of eye patches, unless you buy the really fancy Shang Pri ones. Those are even much more expensive. And for the Hamish ones, the tub contains 72 patches. So I actually think the price is justified, and actually quite a good price, because these will last you for quite a while. I am currently trying out the companion product to these patches, the Hamish Bulgarian Rose Mist Serum, and so far I'm really into this. It smells divine, and the mist is ultra fine, which is very rare with these mist spray types, especially if it's a thicker, more milky type of texture. After spraying this all over my face, my skin just looks ultra dewy and it always feels super hydrated. I quite like the rose mist serum. It might become a fave of the week very soon, but for now the fave of the week is a different product, and it is the J1 Jelly Pack. Okay, this is not a new product at all. The K-beauty experts among my listeners will probably yawn while I rave about this, because they will go, I've known this for a long time. This is old news. But it was new for me. I'd never tried the famous J1 Jelly Pack out before. I fell in love with it. Now, if you aren't familiar with this product yet, let me just explain a bit what it is and what it does. It's not actually that easy to describe. So J1 is a brand founded by super popular Korean actress, and I'm sorry, I will mispronounce her name horribly, Ha Ji-woon. She is known for her flawless complexion. I looked up pictures of her. She looks gorgeous. And she's also known for her youthful appearance. She's my age. She's, I think, 39 or 40, and she looks much younger. She just has a smooth, perfect, flawless skin. Oh, just such a beautiful woman. And the J1 Jelly Pack is probably the brand's best known product. There's a good reason for it. It is just so unique. I've never seen anything like it, which is why it's so hard to describe. It technically is a primer, a makeup primer, but it can also be used as a sort of sealing mask, I guess. And it has a very strong firming effect on the skin. It definitely has a strange jelly-like sticky texture. It takes some practice applying this in a way that it doesn't pill. You use this on top of your sunscreen, so really the last step. Like a makeup primer, it is a makeup primer predominantly, even though it kind of feels like almost more skincare-like at first. Now, the trick when you apply this, I found, is to use, first of all, only a small amount, and then to warm it up between your fingers so that it melts into the skin easily once you apply it. If you apply it straight from the tub without warming it up, then it starts being sort of weird on the skin and it tends to react badly with the sunscreen. But if you warm it up slightly and then apply it carefully, it works perfectly, and it really does sink into the skin like no makeup primer I've ever tried before. Another the trick that I found works well is that I apply it with a sort of rolling motion of my hands, starting in the center of my face and then working outwards. Now, this sounds complicated, I realize, but it really isn't. I'm just describing it in a very complex way. It's just a different technique, that's all. It doesn't take long, it's not complicated. I just now do it without thinking about it. And once you've mastered applying this, I promise you get rewarded with a super smooth canvas that binds foundation to it like no other primer I've ever tried. It's so good. I don't use the sprays very often, I really don't, but it is a holy grail for me. It just makes my makeup look so much better, especially around my nose area where I have visibly enlarged pores. I still have the same nose area that I had when I was 16. It just never seems to go away ever. The jelly pack really helps prevent foundation from sitting in your pores unflatteringly. Again, oily skin types will understand what I mean by that. It's great. It's highly recommended. It's so good. It's not cheap, but you do only need a small amount, so I feel this will probably last a very long time once you've bought it. And now, for a bit of a contrast with the misbehave of the week. Okay, so this one is, once again, just like last episode, not really a K-beauty product, but it tries to copy a very popular Korean beauty invention, so I feel it still fits in with the overall podcast theme. So the misbehave of the week is the Nivea Hyaluron Cellular Filler 3-in-1 Pflege Cushion. So it's a cushion, I don't want to call it foundation, maybe like a BB cushion. I do think foundation would be too much. BB cream, it's also not a BB cream, I don't know. Tinted moisturizer cushion made by the German brand Nivea, or Nivea as we pronounce it here in Germany. I don't actually know if this is already available outside of Germany or if it will ever actually be sold outside of Germany, but for us here, this came out roughly a week ago. Of course, I instantly grabbed it to review it on my blog. I kind of had a feeling that it would be of quite strong interest to a lot of people who usually don't really see cushions or don't even understand what cushions are. It's also, interestingly enough, actually placed right next to the skincare and not the makeup section in German drugstores. I found that quite interesting, but also maybe not the best choice. I don't know. This is just such an odd product, you guys. I feel that Nivea, they didn't quite think this through, is what I think. So on the package, it talks about being an anti-aging product? And sort of like, I guess, tinted moisturizer? Maybe? The liquid in the cushion is, first of all, far too dark and too yellow, even in the light version, which is the one I bought. They have light, medium, and dark. What a shade range, eh? But it's quite normal for European brands, to be honest. And most people, of course, in Germany are more light-skinned. Of course, we do have a dark-skinned community, and I always do wonder where the heck they get their makeup. It must be a nightmare because there are no dark shades. You probably always have to go via online shops from America and brands like Fenty. But be that as it is, this one, I would say for most Germans, will probably actually be too dark, but for darker skin types, this will just be too orange. It will probably, the darkest shade, if someone is dark skinned, will probably look horrible. I don't know. I think it can work if you are more warm toned, olive skin types, they might do well with it, but for me, it didn't work at all. Secondly, the coverage is just, it's very light. It's very natural. You can build this up if you reapply it, but you have to work for it. It's just very light. So sadly, this just did not work for me at all. And it's 17 euros, which is quite pricey. Fortunately, my sister did like it, so I gave it to her. She prefers very light, very natural coverage. So if she uses this twice, it's perfect for her. And she also has a far more warm tone complexion. So actually the yellow tone does look quite nice on her. I really actually liked it on her. It looked awful on me, and I still think it's just too expensive for what it does. It's just not fully thought through, and for someone who knows a lot of Korean cushions, this cannot compete. It just feels like they try to copy Korean cushions without actually understanding fully what makes them so great. They just poured a lightly tinted moisturizer onto a sponge, and that was it. is quite disappointing. If you want to see pictures and swatches of the Nivea cushion, if you're curious what it looks like, make sure to check out my German blog review. It's been surprisingly popular. I got quite high numbers for it. I think because they launched an ad, a TV ad, so a lot of people I think are Googling it, and so far I've been the only one who reviewed it. Let's see what happens once the other bloggers review this as well. But yeah, for now I'm the only one, and as I said, I wasn't impressed. It will actually be interesting to see what especially bloggers, German beauty bloggers who don't know that much K-beauty will say about this. I look forward to that. There you have it. This was this week's episode of the K-beauty podcast after a slightly longer hiatus, and I apologize for that. I hope I managed to find some beauty products that will fit your budget. I could probably do another list with 21 more, but as I said, I didn't want to completely overwhelm you. I hope that's all right with you. If you would like to check out what I do besides this podcast, you can find my beauty blog, including the episode notes for this podcast episode, at sugarpeachesloves.net. That's sugarpeachesloves, one word, .net. Apart from my German reviews, you can find a growing number of English K-beauty reviews there. And it's always a particular joy for me to see my international viewership grow. It's quite exciting. This podcast seems to be especially popular with people from the US and Canada, which I think is awesome. Did you know, by the way, that I was almost born in the US since my parents lived there for a few years? I always feel that this might explain my affinity to the English language. I really almost could have gotten an American passport. I think it was like 2 months or something. But yeah, my mom wanted to come to Germany to have me, so I'm just a boring German instead. Be that as it may, you can also find me on social media, of course. I am on Twitter, and my handle is at Sugar Peach Liebe, that's the German word for love. And the podcast's Twitter account is at K-Beauty Podcast. It still needs some more loving. It's not going too strongly. Of course, it's partly my fault because I'm a little bit lazy on Twitter, to be fair. Another social media account where I'm very active is Instagram. My account is at Sugar Peaches Loves. Again, that's just one word, Sugar Peaches Loves. And I usually post shorter K-Beauty and Asian beauty reviews there. I also always do unboxings if I get any interesting PR samples or buy anything interesting. I also love to do Instagram stories that just feature me running after cats, because I love cats and I always have to say hi to them when I see any of them on walks. I also like to take pictures of flowers. I lead a very exciting life, obviously. I also always check out the local drugstore, so I like to film what's new there. And yeah, I just like to connect with people on Instagram. The K-beauty and Asian beauty community on Instagram is awesome. There's some fantastic, awesome, wonderful ladies out there. The K-beauty podcast can be found on iTunes, and that is still the most convenient way for you to subscribe and to follow. You can also listen to this and any other The K-Beauty Podcast episodes on my blog or on SoundCloud, where a small like or even a comment is always a welcome sight. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with people who you think may also enjoy it. It helps a lot. Reviewing and rating this podcast on iTunes is the absolute best way to support me and my work, since the more positive reviews a podcast gets, the more likely it will be found by other listeners. So please be so kind and support me and my work that way if you feel you have benefited from this podcast at all. Thank you. A lot of people who do follow my work still don't even seem to have caught up on the fact that I have a podcast. So yeah, it seems to be hard to find on iTunes because it's still so new and so small. If you have any questions, queries, or topic suggestions, which I always love to get, if you are a brand and you're interested in working and collaborating with me, you can all reach me at sugarpeachesloves, again one word, at gmail.com. We will see each other again for the next episode of the K-Beauty Podcast. I hope you will have fun shopping for new and exciting K-Beauty products, no matter what your budget is. I don't judge you, no matter what. Promised. Until then, happy masking, layering, and pat, pat, patting. Bye, guys. Thank you.